What up, what up, what up? It's the Roundtable Discussion. It's your boy, Chris P.
What's going on? It's your boy, Motivational Chris.
What's poppin', kid? Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day, brother, man. Well, to the family, you know what it is.
No, no, specifically to you, though. You sound like you got kids back there and shit.
Yeah, it was a good, eventful day today. We did a lot.
What's poppin'? How's everything going? Good?
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. We had a good time. I went to, like, I don't know if you know that Muse Paint Bar out in Sono.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that shit.
Yeah, we was out there. We did some painting and stuff, and got together with Kenny's mom, who's my aunt. And we all did, like, a little family paint thing, drank a little wine, and had a good time.
Where, did y'all just all draw the Dominican flag, or what?
Nah, we was just... coloring landscapes and chilling, like, I never done it before, and then, like, I never done it before, and then the last, like, month, I've done it twice, and it's, like, it's a pretty dope experience. I recommend it to any couple out there.
You definitely did it with your girl, right?
Of course.
That sounds like some French shit, or some shit they do in Paris, I don't know. Yo, speaking of, right, so your girl's from Paris, right?
Yeah.
And she's trying to come down here, like, so what is that culture shock like to her? Because I know we discussed it before, like, what it's like for you to be in Paris. How is that shit for her to come to, like, America? And not only that, but I'm sure you showed her, like, Dykeman. At least I hope you did. Showed her, like, the real roots and shit. But what is that shit like for her?
Well, I'm going to put it to you in a very simple way. And it was the only way I could describe it was when it happened to me. And then I was shocked and I understood what she felt like because I never really understood it until then. And that was when I went over there and I realized that I was like the only dark dude in the whole city, little town. Like, and I was like, whoa, like, this is really crazy. Like, I don't even see nobody that's even close to me. Like, and I'm just like, what is really going on? And then, like, she told me that's how she felt when she went to Washington Heights, where, like, weren't speaking English. Like, she couldn't really understand nothing. Like, and she just had to, like, really hold on to my hand and let me guide her through it. The same way I had to hold on to her hand and let her guide me through it because I don't know French. I don't know anything.
That's crazy. That's dope, though. That's definitely dope. I've never experienced that. I mean, when I first moved to Connecticut, it was a culture shock coming from New York and then seeing that, like, just a bunch of white people was kind of different.
Yeah, nah, when I moved to Connecticut, bro, it was, like, a huge culture shock from New York because I was, like, it's too quiet. Like, I didn't even understand the concept of grass. Like,
granted, I was about to say, get the fuck out of here, but where you moved to, yeah, you got grass. I moved into Connecticut, but I still didn't have grass. Like, the shit was just still rough. Like, I moved into Connecticut to Bridgeport, my nigga, where the whole block felt like living in the projects, except instead of having, you know, 25, 27 floors, it was having 27 houses, like, on the block and shit like that.
And that's the thing, because... And from New York, you don't really see anything else. So you always think that for it to be hood, it has to be like a project style environment.
Exactly.
But exactly. It's actually like very diverse. Like when you go and travel the country, most of the country looks more like Bridgeport ghettos than New York ghettos. Because it's not big.
That's
building.
A fact. That's a fact.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's get to it since we're talking about America and shit. Let's talk about this Childish Gambino video. This is about a week and a half old at this point. So, you know, anybody listening, you know, we do apologize, but we just gonna talk our shit about it anyway. So tell me about what was your perception when you saw that video?
Well, I thought it was amazing. And let me just say, like, I just got a shape up yesterday in the barbershop and niggas still hadn't seen this video. They still don't know about it. A lot of people.
Seriously?
Still like, yeah, bro.
Where the fuck did you get the shape up at?
In Heights finest, nigga.
Yeah, you know what? Because they're not worried about that. They worry about fucking the Boston Red Sox and Yankees playing. That's why. Dominicans don't give a fuck about This Is America.
They be having their LeBron talk. Nah, but my uncle's a huge Republican and, like, Trump fan, bro.
Word?
And he's in the middle of the hood.
Something ain't right. I knew something wasn't right about you.
Bro, it's crazy. So, like, they be having these huge debates. So, and that's when, like, I brought it up, like, that This Is America, because we were talking Kanye, and we put up the video, and everybody started bugging out. Like, my uncle was like, yo, this shit is crazy, because they was talking about it on Fox News, and they're, like, bigging up, like, all the Republicans are, like, bigging them up. Like, oh, and then all the Libertarians are like, oh, this dude is, like, being racist, and, like, this is too much, like...
Word.
Like, all this stuff.
That's too much. That's funny that they would say that.
Exactly, bro. And it's just, like, the symbolism behind the whole thing. It's, like, it really hit home. I feel like, people that are not in tune with those type of things are now starting to pay attention more because someone like that is actually talking about it. You know what I mean?
Okay, so when you seen the video, the way it first starts up, and there's a guy tied up, right?
Looks like he had like a
potato sack over his face or some shit. And, you know, Gambino comes behind him. He does this weird Michael Jackson pose and then shoots the nigga, right? And then, boom, continues the song. What did you depict out of that right there? And then, also, what did you depict out of the choir shooting? Which, I mean, the choir shooting is real obvious as to, like, what goes on in America because that shit's something that used to feel sacred, where you can feel safe going into a church, is no longer safe anymore. You get what I'm saying? Like, so that I understand. The beginning portion of it, with the black man being shot. Was that to depict Chicago? I don't understand. Like, what did you take out of that?
That's a different way to think about it. So obviously this is art. Everything that we say or talk about here is just, you know, speculation and or opinion because we're
no, it's facts.
We're not
when
the
I say
creators.
It's facts.
You know what I mean?
Nah, I feel you.
But I have my own opinions about it, and then I also researched a couple different YouTube videos on like what it could mean and stuff like that. So just a fair advance. And out of the stuff where he's like dancing mad weird, so one of the videos said that that's actually from like a old. Back in the day when white people used to dress as black people for TV and like, you know, paint themselves and shit, they
gotcha.
Would dance around and like mimic black people in this fashion.
Okay, so it was built as a mockery pretty much.
Exactly. Like back then they would, you know, the white people would still have the white lips, but they'll be painted all black and they'll be like Aunt Jemima, the slave of the house, walking in, dancing all funky and looking crazy and shit.
Hello?
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Oh. Yeah, oh, I thought you had more to say. You just stopped. Anybody listening, right? You're listening right now and you're like, okay, these niggas, you know, the audio quality probably sounds like so good that we're in the same room, but we're not. I'm actually in Florida and he's in Connecticut while we're recording this podcast. So that's why I'm like, okay, is this nigga done talking? Because clearly I can't see this nigga. So, all right. So I get that portion. So besides that, is what I'm trying to say is that did he focus on like the obvious issues on what America is? As opposed to, like, all right, we all know about the gun, like, you know, gun control and everything that gets everybody, you know, up in arms to have a conversation about it. But isn't it more to than what America is in that type of video as This Is America? Isn't there still, like, no clean drinking water in Flint? I feel like he touched on the topics that are similar to what you're going to see when you turn on Fox News anyway. What do you think?
I think that he's bringing light to all of it. He's just bringing light to the injustice that black people are facing in the overall, and using his platform as what he can. I think the kids represent all of the mass shootings in the schools as well. I think that the fact that he killed that dude in the beginning shot is not only a dude, it's a black man. And it's he's playing throughout the video the role of America, playing and dancing for you in front of you while the mischief happens behind you.
Got you. Okay.
That's, so the whole concept of it is really like, it's kind of like a in-depth, like, you got to look at it and you got to really study it because people, one thing that I think he's trying to expose is that people that don't experience the stuff that they experience, like that black people experience or that minorities experience, won't ever be able to understand. The same way I couldn't ever understand, like, how my girl felt coming to Washington Heights because I've only ever felt it the way I felt it.
Where?
You get what I'm saying? So, like, that happened to me when I bought one of my homies, who's a white boy from Weston. I bought him to Washington Heights, bro. And it was, like, it was a block party on my block. And I bought this super white boy Jewish kid. And, like, blonde hair. Like, he come in the whip and he's wearing, like, loafers, bro. Like, slip-on loafers.
and like super high blue khaki shorts and like a little Abercrombie and Fitch shirt and golden glasses.
No, how is that your friend? I don't even know nobody who dresses like that. What the fuck? I know you're a different type of rich.
That's my bro. It's just that I couldn't knock him, but then I should have told him when I picked him up from his mansion, like, bro, this is not this area. This is Washington Heights. Like, you got to dress differently. But I really wasn't thinking about it because I'm just like, you know, oh, yeah, let's go. That's the way he always dresses. So fuck you. So we get there, bro. And when we get there, he just looked so out of place. It was like the most craziest shit that I've ever experienced and he's ever experienced. Cause like I as the nigga that bought him to the hood, I was like,
yeah, that had to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I'm like, damn, I'm standing for this nigga right now.
Like, that shit's crazy.
But it was like I had to hold my boy down, and then we ended up going to like this other dude who we met at my boy's house party, and he ended up being like a millionaire, bro. Like his grandpa sold a wine recipe to Coca-Cola,
and that's what they came out to, what, Coke Zero?
Like, what? I don't know, maybe.
What did they do with it?
I don't know what they did with it, but they got like millions and millions of dollars back in like the 70s or some shit.
Okay, so now this is your boy in Weston, right?
Yeah.
Why, I wouldn't even want to be friends with you. I wouldn't want to be friends with niggas that's like poorer than me. Like, he's doing good. What the hell y'all got to talk about?
Nah, bro. Yo, we have a lot to talk about because he's a person that's also like that. He don't know about what's going on. Like, me and him have had debates on Trump, and like he stands for Trump, and like I stand against Trump. And
nah, you sound like you stand with him,
huh?
You sound like you stand with Trump.
Nah, now, bro, after this whole Kanye shit, I've kind of been going towards the other way now.
Hold on, I'm about to hang this shit up right now.
That's the crazy part. Boop, boop, bro, boop, boop. I'm... boop, boop, boop. Bro, you stupid. But
let me close out with the Childish Gambino shit real quick.
All right.
Genius video. I actually really did like it. I just wanted to see kind of, I depicted the same shit, you caught on to it. I just wanted to hear somebody else's opinion because I heard a lot of people who really didn't see the same. Like, when I saw the black, I viewed it as, when he said, "This is America," him being a black man killing another black man, I saw that different than what other people saw. How you said, like, you know, him mimicking what America is, like, you know, what America is in the sense of, like, this is America, a man just killing another black man as him representing America, as opposed to him actually in the video physically being a black man killing another black man. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, the video is dope. The beat's fucking fire. And I thought what was funny was the way the songs were. It was like, there's a part where the hook drops. I forgot how it goes from the top of my head, but it was so simple. And in its simplicity, it just reminded me of, this is America in the sense of what music is too. Like, we dummy down everything for the consumer. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a portion of the song that's like, all right, this is what I got to say for y'all niggas to listen to me. You know what I'm saying? It was just weird. But dope-ass video. He did a dope-ass job. And I don't know if you've seen his shit on Saturday Night Live.
I saw some parts of it, like the Kanye apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah, and then they had the Migos. Or what they called them, I forgot what they called them in the skit, whatever. But shit was funny as hell, man. He's having a fucking great year. He's going to... Yeah, there's nothing you can say about that nigga right now. Nigga's winning.
Did you see the Power 105 interview that he did with Charlamagne and all of them?
Recently or years ago?
No, recently. Like, he just did the interview for this upcoming song and everything.
Oh, no, I didn't even see that shit.
Yeah, it's fire, bro. That's how come I started fucking with him even more now, because he be hanging out a lot with Jaden Smith, and these dudes, they calling them, that's what he said in the interview, they're calling them like the new blacks. And it's like, new blacks is like people that they feel like they're not black and they're not white. They're just like humans, and it's like a whole new era. It's like what all these Uzi niggas and all, like Tekashi 6ix9ine, is like what they're all trying to represent of this, like, it doesn't matter if I'm a girl, a guy, gay, black, white. Like, we're just all human beings type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cool, but Tekashi might be a girl. Uzi might be a girl. Young Thug, most likely a girl. I don't know. It's too much of that bullshit going on in hip-hop. But I get what you're saying about the new black shit. I just clearly can't relate because I'm half Dominican, half Puerto Rican. So I have no comment, Your Honor. No further questions.
Well, I'm Dominican 100%, but I definitely represent that I'm considered black. Like, I feel myself as a black man in America.
Yeah, but they don't see us. Like, they don't see us as black. Let's keep it funky. Like,
no, that's 110%. We all noticed that with Domino. But what we're talking about here is just keeping it facts with what I experienced in terms of me being pulled over by cops, me experiencing America through my eyes and dating white women and going to their house and meeting their fathers. And they're like, oh, who's this nigga? And then I'd be like, no, papi, yo hablo español, ¿qué pasó? Tranquilo. Oh, he's Spanish, okay, let's talk.
He's Spanish from the island next to Haiti. Yeah, you still black, nigga. Let's talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine real quick, right? He just dropped a video the other day. I want to get your opinion on it. Basically saying that New York is back. Now, everybody's been saying this shit for like the last probably 15 years or so, or let's say 10. Well, from, I don't know, from French to the lower level, lower tier rappers like Fred the Godson, say New York back, Joel Ortiz, all these people. But do you finally believe that New York is back? Is that true or not?
I believe that New York is not at the point where it used to be in terms of the early 2000s when like 50 and Ja and DMX and Jay, like all Dipset, of that era. Everybody, yeah. Like that whole era right there, it was like a new thing that just kind of felt so organic and so crazy. I don't think that right now is that's where it's at. But I think that for current day and A Boogie killing it, Don Q, what's it called? ASAP's killing it, Cardi B, like there's Tekashi. There's so many people from so many different hoods that's coming up hard right now that there is a potential if these guys keep playing their game right and keep doing their thing and have longevity, which I see in a lot of them, then there's potential that New York is not only back, but it's going to be even more powerful than where it was back then. Because when you have the platforms that these kids have and the things that they're saying and the things that they're doing and the controversy that they're causing within traditional just through their internet stuff, it's incredible.
You know, the shit that boggles my mind, right, is that everybody says, you know, what you just said was put well, but it's also like New York is never going to be back to what it was, like the golden era of like the 90s to the early 2000s. It's never going to get there. I don't believe it'll ever get there, like never in life. That's it. But I feel like for the last few years, we probably have the best balance between all regions, between Kendrick holding down the West Coast, Nipsey Hussle, to a smaller molecule, but the game, and then also the South is always going to do what it does. But I feel like this region, and we don't even got to say specifically New York, let's just like call it the Northeast. Like let's include Philly in that, because when New York was popping, you also had like Rockefeller was popping, but there was also mad niggas from Philly in that clique, right? So for the past 5-6 summers, New York has owned the radio in the summertime, right? I mean, we had Bodak Yellow, you had Designer with Panda, you had Young M.A. with Ooh. There's been proof that at least in the summertime, New York always got a hit record like that rings off, right? My shit is that we never claim Nicki Minaj as a New York artist, right? Which she's been killing
Why
the game.
Not?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I claim her.
French Montana, Unforgettable. That's a fucking hit. Last year, or whatever the case may be. How could people say New York is not back when you hear that shit? And that's the shit that boggles my mind when niggas are, no, yeah, New York is not back in the sense of the early 90s and 2000s, but it is back in the sense of, yo, we got hits. Let's start claiming those artists. Let's start claiming the Nickys and the Frenches and fucking, Cardi.
That people claim them, but I just think that the fact is this. I think, one, Cardi really revved the Bronx in New York.
100%.
That's dope as fuck, and she's killing it for that. But I think that also, as a collective, like, now, because of the statements that Tekashi's making and things like this, like, I'm the king of New York, now you're going to start seeing that, because you got to understand, it's just like any think about it like WWE. It's like a world of their own where, like, you got to have the villain, you got to have the girl, you got to have the bad guy, the good guy, and all of them trying to fight for the king of, of New York or the king of LA or king of ATL. And that's everybody's little, you know, own little video game of the rap game or whatever they're doing. And at the end of the day, these guys trying to do this, now it's starting to identify the next league of guys coming up that we should really be looking out for, like a Tekashi, like fucking Casanova and the ASAPs and all these guys, and how they're changing the game within themselves and doing things that is different. I think that it's not only going to surpass the stuff that happened in the 2000s, but it's going to go way beyond, because these dudes are going to be able to connect and do things that have never been thought of before, that were never even close to being accessible. I mean, keep it as simple as the videos now. The videos now cost $1,000, and that's if you're paying super high-end. You could probably get that shit done for free on your iPhone. Now, compared to back in the day,
a good quality video is at least a good, I would say, anywhere from $25,000 to $5,000, you can get a great industry-quality video. Anything less than that, you're probably not getting great quality.
You said $25,000?
$2,500 to $5,000 for sure. There's no way you're getting great quality for like $1,200. There's no fucking way. And you could name any fucking videographer, producer, editor, whatever in Connecticut that comes up with videos. Yeah, is it good quality? Absolutely. Can you size it next to a, you know, a French Montana video, a Fab video? Absolutely not. Not for anything under less than, I think, $2,000 at the very least.
At the very least. I agree with that. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that these people are doing this type of stuff, and what they're trying to do is really get to the point of, when is it enough? You know what I mean? Like, when is it going to be something more? So that's kind of like how I view it.
This is my opinion on Tekashi specifically. Now, just answer yes or no. In this era of what hip-hop is right now, especially in New York, is Tekashi 6ix9ine the king of New York?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is the reason why I beg to defer. Nobody ever mentions Tekashi as, like, the hip-hop's leading people. The hip-hop's leading, like, this generation, what do they say? It's three names they say all the time, and we can stretch it out to five or six tops, and that's it. Drake.
Kendrick, Cole, and Drake.
Kendrick and Cole, right? You can stretch it out to Meek, Wale, and maybe Big Sean. That's like the top six of this new generation of, you know, not only lyricists, but also niggas that make hits that do get on Billboard. Tekashi would be considered, if this was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, right? Who would he be like considered? Because he's not Jay-Z, right? He's not Nas. He's not 50. He's not Diddy.
Bro, is that, I
so
think,
what
I think
he,
that
is
what
he
you,
the Jim Jones I, of this new generation? Or the Cameron? No.
I can see that. Yes,
you,
I can definitely
see that. That's what I'm saying.
That.
Like, I want to get a realistic a trajectory. He's more like I guess, second to third. I would say second tier. Or would you put him in front of A Boogie and Don Q and ASAP?
Yes.
Because of relevance or because of just musical content?
Because of both. Because of the fact that he's able to keep his name in everybody's mouth, and he continues to do everything on his own. You got to think, ASAP has a whole crew. Everybody's working to try to build themselves together. All these other dudes, they building themselves. He's doing it only him and his OG with their own camera, their own shit, just being wild, being stupid, and getting attention. But I don't think, what I was going to say is that I don't think that, I'm not comparing, obviously he's saying, when he says the king of New York, he's not comparing himself with, like, you're thinking already too old. J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, that's our era. Tekashi's not
our era. So you're saying there's another era. There's the J, Nas,
of course.
And then there's the Cole, Drake, Kendrick, and then there's what?
Yes.
The Tekashi.
And
really?
Now there's the new niggas. Yes, bro. Come on, we've been around a while now, bro. Like,
I don't know, man. I don't think there's that much because, right, you got Biggie and Pac. They kind of separate Biggie, Pac. If you put, like, you know, upper echelons, like Biggie, Pac, look at this pyramid. Then you go down, then there's, like, Jay Nas.
Yes.
I'll say Jay Nas because you could always take out, you know, Big and Pac and have your top three, whatever. And then under that is, like, you know, the 50 and Diddy, because Diddy's really not considered as an artist. But you talk about just New York influential, like, in the hip-hop industry, period. Right, and then after that is when you hit, like, all right, the rest of everybody, like the Drake, Kendrick, you know, Cole, like the top tier artists. So there's another tier. So Tekashi's the king of New York of that tier of the A Boogie?
Exactly.
Is that saying much though? Like that's like me saying, yo, my nigga, I'm the king. I'm the king of Wilton.
That's not the king of Norwalk. That's yet to be determined because we don't know how big that tier is gonna get to.
I get it. I'm just saying that king of New York right now then. That I think that now that you just pointed that out to me, now I feel like a super old head, but that's also not saying much. That's not much of anything, my nigga. That's like, if you're the king of New York at that era, okay, you're considering yourself the king of New York of what? Casanova, Manolo Rose, excuse me, Don Q, I don't know, ASAP what? What would you throw another name behind it? I don't know. So if you're the king of New York at that, then that's not saying much. You know what I'm saying? That I don't understand. But all right. To end the argument, though, New York is back, right?
Yeah, definitely New York is back.
All right. Tekashi 6ix9ine is not the king of New York. I just got to be clear and say that shit. You can say that shit you saying, but Tekashi is definitely not the king of New York. All right, real quick, let's talk about Meek Mill. Nah, that nigga is hilarious. First of all, honestly, after watching the Breakfast Club interview, I still kind of hated the nigga. But then I realized why he's still literally a kid. Like, he's really, really, yeah, really a kid. You can just tell by half the shit he says. Just because he screams a lot on records and he has so many tattoos, he kind of makes himself seem older than what he is. But he's a fucking kid still. But, and exactly. I actually heard a song. I don't know. People who know me know what I do for a living. I have, you know, drivers that work for me and shit. But somebody had a fucking CD in my van and I was just listening to it the other day. So all I know is some... I don't know. Is there a song called Billy or some shit like that?
Yeah.
That he got? All I heard was a nigga just screaming all over the track. It was so fucking horrible. The worst shit I've heard in my life. But I don't know how kids listen to that shit. And actually, my oldest son, who's 15, listens to it. And I want to smack him when he mentions that nigga's name, to be honest with you. Let's talk about Meek Mill real quick, right? This was his first performance since being released out of jail sometime last month at the Rolling Loud. I think that show was in Miami. I'm not sure. But bottom line is, right, I want to, like... break something down real quick. What are the realistic expectations of Meek Mill in hip-hop, right? Because just literally, I want to say 2016, I had put up a meme of how many losses Philly has taken as a city, right? So it was Meek Mill jumping out the window trying to beef with Drake. He took a big-ass L. He kept taking L's, like, back-to-back. They showed a video one time of him slipping down the stairs. Like, everything regarding Meek Mill in 2016 was a dub. Then you had the Philadelphia 76ers, right? The basketball team. And then you have Bill Cosby. All these niggas taking L's in 2016. Now, 2 years later, everybody got Meek Mill on this weird-ass pedestal. I always fucked with him regardless. I just really like this music. I don't give a fuck if he jumped out the window trying to beef with Drake. You know, I was disappointed because I felt like he could have won that battle. But the point is, all of a sudden, this is like hip-hop's golden child. Like, do you see that shit or am I bugging?
No, I think that the reason that is because... of the political climate in America right now is that people are very confused and they're scared and they don't know what's going on. So him being such a high valued figure and then no one really shining light to it up until this point, it really kind of like overblew the light on it now because everybody wants to look at it now because they want to be like, oh, I was the one that was getting that story and talking about it, about how this rapper was treated just as regular as any other black person would be treated.
All right, so that's out of the way, right? So okay, I look at it and I'm like, damn, all these fucking fuck niggas wasn't fucking with this dude. Now everybody fuck with Meek Mill and all this shit, right? So all right, cool. Regardless of that, what is the expectation of him in hip-hop right now?
I think that the music is very crucial. I think somebody said this to me the other day, and I think that it would be fire. But like, if him and Kanye dropped the album together right now, it would be fucking crazy as shit.
Stop it! Stop it! That would be the wildest shit if Kanye and Meek Mill did a joint. Watch the Throne 2 with Kanye and Meek Mill. That shit would be hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, bro. So I think that's dope. And but just the concept of the pressure on him is incredible right now because he has to be able to tell those stories and also be able to evolve from that person as well, which is what he was talking about in the interviews he was doing recently, which is like, you know, I didn't want to make jail rap, so he didn't make records in jail, but now that he's out, he wants to kind of build
that story. He wants to talk about those stories that we love him for and kind of take it to a whole nother level now with the oppression that he has faced. So I think that that's going to cause some great dynamic for the music and give the real Meek Mill fans who, if they're like me, I like that, like, aggression, that pressure, that, like, I'm coming for it. I don't give a damn what it takes. And, like, that's what his... That's where he's at right now. I feel like it's that Pac right after jail. Like, he has to make that All Eyes on Me album and really come hard, you know?
Okay, I like that similarity between Pac and Meek. But I also feel like where Meek is at right now, he's on the press run regarding nothing of music. He's on the press run regarding his release. So I feel like he's in a very unique spot right now where he don't even got to put out music right now. Like, I personally feel like I'm not even looking for Meek to go put out music right now. I feel like he can go on the Rolling Loud stage and go ahead and play, do I'm a Boss and Dreams and Nightmares, and the crowd fucking loves it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this is a time for him to be. He's as relevant as a Tekashi 6ix9ine, and all the nigga had to do is come out of jail. You know what I'm saying? So like, he's relevant for like nothing regarding music, which is dope. I feel like he's at a very dope position. Except now that Drake's about to drop his album in June, it's kind of going to suck for Meek because now everybody's going to talk about Drake again. Hopefully Drake don't take no shots at Meek and Meek can live a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I really honestly feel that right now he's at a dope position. Honestly, like, you can't be in a better position coming out of jail and everybody wanting to see you, everybody wanting to talk to you, everybody wants to hear your story. And he's definitely sounding super educated in some of these interviews.
Yeah, I really like the angle that he's going at about it, and like he's really trying to, he said it like, yo, if I wasn't somebody that had 7 lawyers and the backing of billionaires, I wouldn't have been able to get out of this. Imagine somebody who just living regular and gotta like pay their bills and shit. How could they ever, they'll be in jail for life. That's crazy, bro. It's 2018. It's 2018, bro. And we're living in a world where it's like, it's still like crazy out here, bro. Like, the fact that somebody, specifically somebody like him, that's that rich and like knows that many people and stuff, and they had the audacity to do that to him. So just like, imagine that's, bro, I've been pulled over by cops and felt helpless and felt like, yo, like that's what the interview with Childish Gambino and on Power, they talked about that, because Childish, he dresses up like very raggedy. So like, when he's walking in the street, people look at him like he's a poor black dude.
He definitely looks,
they don't know him.
Yeah.
If they don't know him, he looks homeless. So he's been like harassed by cops. Like, he said he almost got killed trying to bring his disabled mom into the house.
That's crazy. Where the fuck does he live? Like,
bro, that's just insane though, bro. But like, that's when you're treated under those type of circumstances, it's no wonder you act out and do things that make people want to pay attention to you or do something. And that's what like Meek is standing for right now. So I feel like he understands just the same way. He understands the same way T.I. understands that, like, not only is music like the dope shit that we love to rock and listen to, but it's also very influential, because as Donald Trump proved, if you can control the culture, you can control the backing, you can control the votes, you can control the everything else, the power, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that hip-hop as in general right now is kind of taking a next leap forward. Like, we've seen so much and grown so much. Hip-hop is only 40 years old right now, and it's already getting to that mature state. But now these next 20 years of what's going to happen in the technology world and in the whole world as an existence, hip-hop is going to be a leading force, because hip-hop is always the rebels. It's always the people that are, like, different. It's the dreamers. It's the misfits. It's the weirdos. You know what I mean?
But yeah, it's
and
different those people... now. It's rebel now. But it would no longer be considered,
bro, this,
rebel if
this
it's
has
the
always
norm.
Been hip-hop, bro. What do you mean?
No, I'm
hip-hop
saying, but now
since day
it's
one.
Becoming the norm. Is it not? Isn't like they say,
no.
Is it hip-hop now pop culture?
No, bro. Hip-hop now is... That's what I'm saying. Like, hip-hop is pop culture in terms of listens and views and stuff like that, because people listen to it. That's always relevant. But I'm talking about, we don't fuck with the skinny jeans and the dreads and all that dumb shit because that's not our rebel side. You get what I'm saying? Our rebel side sagging our pants, smoking a blunt. So it's the same shit. It's just a different angle. They're sipping lean. They're taking it to another level. You get what I'm saying? They're doing
That's what I'm saying, though. But that is also becoming the norm. Look at niggas like Little Zan, I think his name is. Little Pump. What do they look like?
That's
niggas
not
look like Little Uzi. They look like Young Thug.
I agree, but what I'm saying with that is I don't think that's them trying to be something. I think that's the reflection of what the game is. When everybody was coming out at Jay's era, everybody was comparing them to Jay and Nas.
That's my point, though, right? So now this new era of hip-hop that we're in right now is going to be considered the norm at some point, is it not? Wouldn't then the rebels be like, you know, like, I'm sure before hip hop, what was considered rebellious music, rock and roll? I don't know, like heavy metal rock. I guess that's a different genre.
I think that's what people like take. That's what all of these artists, if you notice, none of them consider themselves rappers. They mostly consider themselves rock stars and artists and things like that because they don't want to be bottled down to a thing. I think Kanye said it best in the Charlamagne interview at the end of it, which anybody who hasn't seen the Charlamagne interview, don't watch the whole thing. Just watch the last 15 minutes of it, and you'll get the best part, and that's it. And basically, at the end, he says, like, he feels an artist is just as valuable as a brand. So the same way a startup company like Dropbox, which just did an IPO and made billions of dollars, they have a full team and people dedicated to building that Dropbox process of business, the way it makes money and continues to make money down the line, the branding, the marketing, everything. The way they have that, an artist should have that too. And the fact that for the longest time, the record labels and or the agencies like Roc Nation and all these things that sign the artists are making most of that money because they're taking care of most of that. But if the artists like themselves took care of all of that, like the way Kanye wants to do, then you start to see a whole new monopoly that is in the artist's favor. Because now, what is stopping Kanye from doing that and becoming a Walt Disney by creating his own community where his fans could go there and enjoy the Kanye West Park the same way we would go and enjoy
the
Mickey Mouse
Park? Wait,
does
that not sound like he's just trying to build a cult? That's what it sounds like to me.
Bro, it's gonna sound crazy, bro. But that's what genius sounds like at first, because we're never used to that. That's what a true rebel is.
Wait. But you just said something that sounds awfully familiar. Go to a Kanye park. Okay, so he's just trying to be like Walt Disney. What's so original about that? He'll be the first hip hop person to have a park. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Everything about that is original, bro. It's Kanye.
How is that original? It's just a black man doing it. Ain't nothing original about that shit. You took something the white man did, and then come on, man.
Bro, you're talking about a black man building an empire and making an amusement park about his empire is not fucking epic? Are you kidding me right now?
No, that's not like Diddy just making a remix to fucking his songs back in the day. There's nothing about that sounds revolutionary. Bruh, nothing. I'm going to tell you. You watch Shark Tank?
If I watch what?
Shark Tank.
Hell yeah, I watch Shark Tank.
You know who Mr. Wonderful is? Kevin O'Leary?
Of course.
The Don, the God, Kevin O'Leary, right? Nothing about what you just said about Kanye sounds proprietary. He would be crushed like the little cockroach he is, my nigga. So that's it. Leave that shit where it's at. All that Walt Disney shit, he gotta cut it out. Right? That shit is done. Yo, everybody who says something dumb, don't make them a genius. It don't make them creative and it don't make them an artist. Just because I throw fucking hot sauce at the wall doesn't make me fucking Picasso. You understand? You get sick of niggas giving niggas a pass to do dumb shit. That shit is corny already. Like, yo,
I disagree,
yo,
bro.
Jay-Z said it best. And when he dissed Nas, just because a nigga wear a kufi, it don't mean that he bright. Stop it. Everybody who wore a kufi wasn't smart back in the day. So just because Kanye said some wild shit that we don't understand doesn't make him a genius. Now, let me ask you a question. If we go to download, and we talked about this off the air before, right? If we go to download his next album on Tidal, on iTunes, whatever the case may be, and we hear nothing, right? And then a note pops up on our phone, and it says, close your eyes and imagine the music. Would that make Kanye a genius? Or would that just be some dumbass shit? The niggas downloaded for no fucking reason.
Genius.
Come on, man. Yo, come on. You got to stop. Bro. Just because we don't understand it, don't make his nigga genius. It could be some dumb nigga saying some wild shit, too.
It doesn't matter, though, bro. That's what I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie about art is.
I almost want to do that. I almost want to drop an album that says nothing. You know what I'm saying? And see, but if I did it, it wouldn't be genius, right? Wouldn't I be dumb? Wouldn't be like, oh, that nigga's crazy.
Yeah, you would be dumb.
Exactly my
point. You would be dumb.
Exactly. So fuck Kanye, nigga. He's not a genius because he says some artsy shit. Niggas got to stop doing that shit, man.
He is a genius, bro. You just, the vision is not there yet, bro. You guys haven't seen it yet, but he has it in his head.
I'm definitely not there. Definitely, he got it in his head. That's hilarious. All right, let's move over to Cardi B real quick, right? So, a while back, whatever episode we talked about this before, right? I think it was a rumor that Cardi B was pregnant, and we never even got to the actual conversation. But with that pregnancy, how's that going to affect her trajectory in hip hop?
I think that, I don't think it should affect her too much because Cardi B's a hustler and she be getting her money and she be working hard. And I think
her trajectory in hip hop music, how relevant is she going to be? First of all, I got to say something. Remember that me and you and Domino recorded an episode at Members Only Studio that never even got released because the engineer there was straight trash. I don't know what the fuck happened, right? But the point is, we did an episode, and I apologize if I'm offending your political connects, but we did the episode. And one of the things I said out of my mouth was I don't see Cardi lasting more than 5 years. Remember me saying that? I did say that. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't even say this out loud because nobody ever heard me say it, but I have to say it, right? So I said that she won't last. She'll be 5 years or under. She's done. That's before I heard the album. So now that I heard her album, I don't give a fuck whether she doesn't write her lyrics or not. She got some fucking great writers with her, and she knows how to deliver her product. So with that being said, I just got to throw it out there. And I was dead ass wrong with that, and I just want to put that out there. So now, in hip-hop, not what she's doing on SNL, not what she's going to do in covers and relevancy. In hip-hop, what is her trajectory? We're leaving that type of void out there. There is a big void now that she's going to be gone. Yes or no?
I don't think she's going to be going anywhere, bro, because she's not fucking crippled. She's just pregnant. She can make records.
Well, some will say being pregnant could be a handicap.
I think that she's talented enough to do what she got to do.
Is she really talented? Let's be honest now. What is talent? Let's be real. I love her, though. I love everything she does, but I'm not going to call that talent either. Is it talent to take something somebody gives you and repeat it on beat? Is that talent?
I would say depending on the journey of each individual artist, but in her journey, from what I know about her, is that she's been putting in the time and the effort for years and years and years. So that sounds like talent. Because you're sharpening yourself, you're getting yourself ready for when something like this happens and you become a superstar.
All right, hip-hop, she's not talented. Talent is what she did at the strip club. That's talent. But being able to look at something somebody hands you and just repeat it on a beat, that's not talent, my nigga. I could do that shit. Not as good as her, probably, but that don't make it talent. You just give out too much credit, my nigga. What's your credit score?
She's the Selena of the Bronx, bro.
Stop it. She can't claim that either, my nigga. She should say she's Selena of America. Remember, Selena's from fucking Mexico, nigga. Like, the trap Selena, she could just say she's America's Selena. All right, so her pregnancy is not going to affect her shit at all.
I don't think it's going to affect it at all.
All right. You could be right. I don't know. I feel like that it all depends on, you know, how her videos are being released and shit like that. I don't know how far along she is, but, you know, within the next 6-7 months, that's a lot of time to leave a void. People forget people very fast, especially in the hip-hop industry. It ain't what you did for me yesterday. It's what you're doing for me today.
I agree with you, but what I think that is going to keep her always relevant is she is dating amigos.
That's a fact. And you know what? If all else fails, I think that'll keep her relevant as fuck until that relationship ends. Like the same way he did for Meek and Nicki. Every Meek bar he had when he was with Nicki, Nicki this, Nicki that, Nicki this, Nicki that. As soon as he left Nicki, look what happened. He went to jail. So, moral of the story, Cardi B better stay very fucking close to, who's she with, Offset?
Yeah.
Yeah, Offset. All right. Well, all right, fuck it. So, speaking about Cardi, she got that song, I Like It Like That, which is a sample from a very, very, who's a fucking original artist? I'm going to get killed for this shit. Was it Celia Cruz? Did I like it like that?
I don't know. I think so.
The original shit? You too fucking young. I don't know what I'm talking about this shit anyway. Like that. But she got the song featuring what is Bad Bunny?
Yep.
So that's the actual feature is him on it, right? It's not like he did his own remix.
No, that's the feature. That's like who she that's went to go joint. Do a record with.
All right, word. All right, so in your words, because this is what you want to talk about, what is Latin trap doing for hip hop?
Oh, well, I think that right now, like, a lot of people are intermingling, like, Bad Bunny, this is dude's So Song, or I forgot his name, I don't even know it, but there's a bunch of dudes right now that is basically, like, happening, like, back in the day when, like, 50 started doing records with Daddy Yankee and all this type of stuff. Like, you're seeing, like, Drake doing stuff with some Spanish dudes, all these dudes, because the cultures are so similar, and it's just a whole different level of now with social media to be able to open up the market and not just stay relevant in United States, but go into these other countries. And with Spanish being a language that many people around the world speak besides English as well, it's a great opportunity for them to start blending into these markets. And Cardi B, being Dominican, played the smart move by putting the hottest Latin trap artist on the market on her record and having that shit bump on both Spanish and English radio stations.
All right, so what are the Spanish radio stations? Who plays this shit? Who plays Bad Bunny? And like, where is he? Like you know, New York,
La Mega.
La Mega, did they play that shit?
Yeah.
So what the fuck were they playing before?
Tekashi 6ix9ine did an interview. Tekashi 6ix9ine just did an interview on La Mega like last week or something, bro.
They popping like that?
Bro, they're Hot 97 in Spanish, bro. What do you think?
No, I know, like, but then why the fuck is Spanish people in Spanish? I forgot. Yeah, I forgot the nigga Spanish. I keep thinking he's like, you know, Asian and shit because of his name.
That's funny because I thought that too.
Yeah, I mean, he don't look Asian. Obviously, his real name is what, Daniel Hernandez or some shit like that. But I just don't look at him as a Spanish dude. They always Tekashi just, you know. I feel like he's like a ninja sensei. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like he's like a sauce. Like, yo, pass me the Tekashi.
Oh, word. That shit sounds pretty lit. All right, so who is leading Latin trap? There's a rapper named Messiah, right?
Yeah, Messiah is pretty dope.
Is that trap or is that reggaeton?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a full out expert on this stuff because I used to be very heavy into Wisin y Yandel and Don Omar and stuff
that. But those niggas ain't trap though, right?
Nah. That's reggaeton, but that's like older era. So I'm still listening to like the Jay-Z and the Nas's. So I'm not really on to what the little Uzis Coles and these guys are doing.
All right, let me ask you a question though, right? Young Thug, Future, and a lot of artists, they do rap music, right? But they do like that trap sound, which is big in the South, right? Which is what all music is kind of is right now. Migos and shit like that. But if Young Thug gets on a track with, I don't know, this shit might happen, J. Cole is going on tour with Young Thug. On Young Thug, I mean, if Young Thug does a song with J. Cole on a J. Cole produced beat, most likely it's not going to be trap. So why is it like a whole separate genre when it comes to Spanish, like Latin trap? Why is that? So we seen or Yandel or fucking Don Omar can't go on a trap beat and just spit the normal shit?
Well, I think that it's just a different cadence to it. It's the same way like it within hip hop you call that trap beat. You don't call that like niggas know a boom bap beat.
Yeah, they be like, let me get a trap beat, but they don't be like, yo, that's trap rap music. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just a trap beat. It's still hip hop music though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got to understand that in Spanish, there's mad different layers because it kind of, everybody, it's kind of like, it's the opposite effect of hip-hop, where in hip-hop, we look at hip-hop as like its own singularity and then pop culture as the thing that hip-hop is growing towards. You get what I'm saying?
Got you.
In Spanish, the market, it's more the opposite because it's reggaeton is the pop culture and then everything that's coming out, they're trying to classify it as reggaeton. So they classify themselves as rap dominicano and then they as Latin trap. So everybody has their own lanes. Like rap Latino is like different. Like that's bars. That's like niggas spitting like Jay-Z and Nas.
And then Latin trap is like niggas spitting like Future.
Now you put me on to a lot of shit, man. Cause I think if this podcast shit don't work out, first of all, I'm gonna start looking at intern at La Mega. I didn't know they was popping like that, so I definitely gotta check that shit out. I don't know shit for Spanish, but yo, y'all can catch me Sunday nights on La Mega, I said Mega. You know what I mean? Like, I used to grow up listening to that shit. You know, my dad's Dominican, my biological father. So when I used to chill with him in the BX, that's what he used to have playing in the store. Like, God forbid I'll try to change that shit to Hot 97, I'll get in trouble. You know, my dad used to own a corner store in the Bronx. So the shit was like, that's all we used to listen to is La Mega. But I don't ever remember hearing, well, I guess there was a reggaeton, but I don't remember it to like the extent of what it is now. Like, you know, Hot 97 just plays hip hop. I remember La Mega playing a little bit of bachata, a little bit of merengue, all that shit. You know,
they obviously play that's their core.
They play all basis. Spanish music, basically, right?
Yeah, they play all Spanish music. That's their core, like that, those older styles and the salsa, bachata, all that stuff. But I'm saying it's just like Hot 97, like there's like a time when Funk Flex is going on where he's dropping bars.
Got you. So it's more of a mix So, because I know, like, after, let's say Flex goes on at 7, 9 o'clock, I don't know who goes on, but that shit might be, like, the underground rappers. Like, you might hear more of, Don Q got some type of mainstream success. But all right, cool. That explains it to me. Thank you for breaking that shit down. All right, so earlier when we started the podcast, I made a joke telling you happy Mother's Day and shit like that, because today we're recording, it is Mother's Day, but when the show drops, it is May 15th, 2018. So we have this segment that we started, you know, a couple episodes ago, which is equivalent to months ago because we haven't been dropping episodes. So, but all that's going to change now. So in this day in hip hop, May 15th, 2001, Missy Elliott drops Missy So Addictive. She had hits like Get Your Freak On and 1 Minute Man on there. The reason why I bring that up and the reason why we started this segment is for anybody listening to this podcast, right? I'm 30 years old. You're what, 25?
Yeah.
All right. My son, I hope he doesn't listen to this shit, but if he did, he's 15 years old, right? So he let's say somebody his age bracket in high school would click on this. They listen to it. And they're like, oh, damn, Missy Elliott. Let me hear who the hell that is. They go on Google. They go on Tidal, whatever, or Apple Music and start listening to shit. So what this is to kind of put people onto shit that they're probably not aware of in hip hop, and also just, you know, kind of paying homage to, you know, the hip hop heads and artists and whatever, and, you know, before us and shit like that. So all that to say, Missy Elliott dropped that album. Get Your Freak On was a hit. 1 Minute Man was a hit, and it went on to go, I think, 1.7 million sold, which is platinum. But the point is that album, if the whole thing wasn't produced by Tim, which is Timbaland, most of it was. So my question was really to bring this segment up was, who's the best 1-2 punch or the top 1-2 punch when it comes to producer and artist like Timbaland and Missy Elliott? They got countless hits. Timbaland and Aaliyah, countless hits. So who do you think is that good 1-2 punch?
I would say it would have to be probably M and Dre.
M and Dre, you think that's the best 1-2 punch?
Yeah.
But first of all, to be clear, I think Dr. Dre and anybody is gonna be a hit, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? You go Dr. Dre and
I agree.
Eazy-E, you go Snoop. Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, Dr. Dre and Snoop. You know, that's 50. All good. But I think, like, thinking out, maybe for me it's regional, obviously, because, you know, I was born and raised in New York until I moved to Connecticut, but it's still the Northeast region. I think to think on a smaller scale, in a sense, like Swizz Beatz and DMX, I think made fucking phenomenal hits together.
That's a fact.
I think that's such a great 1-2 punch. If you go West Coast, if you want to like turn it into like regions, I would think if you say West, you say Dr. Dre and fucking anybody. And then I think if you go East Coast, I think when you put Swizz Beatz, again, you can't talk like right now, but Swizz Beatz and fucking DMX back in the day in the 2000s and in the 90s. But
I would
especially.
Say if we're talking like that, I would say Irv and Ja too, because the amount of hits, like, not just because, you know,
you just brought up an interesting point. Go ahead.
But the fact that, like, I still hear so many Ashanti records and Ja Rule records still to this day on the radio all the time.
See, the only difference is, because I thought about this too, was Irv, and I can't confirm it, but he is a producer, But he's not a producer in the sense of, pass me the MPC, I'm about to kill this shit. He's a producer like Diddy. Like, yo, you know what? I hear we should put some horns right here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Instead of the boom, boom, bap, let's go boom, boom. Pause that shit real quick. When he says this line, oh shit, everybody's about to go crazy. That's how I also view producers as well, because that's a legitimate, you know, title for producer. Because I thought, if you want to say that, you can say, you know, Puff and Big. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the shit they laid out. I think that producing shit.
I think that them two is probably the best of all time, just because they're... Because Biggie died, we never got to see a breakup to them, so we always fell in love with the story. You get what I'm saying? It was always them two riding against the world, so that's what made it like a dope story for us as the fans.
But then as a fan, there's not enough content for me. Like, you know, what? All right, 24 songs, when then you have, like, you know...
I
like,
agree.
Even in that situation...
That's my thing with it.
Yeah, like when you go Swiss and DMX, you're talking about from his first album all the way to... You know, the Rough Rider compilations that came out, there was three of them. And then most of his albums is all, you know, Swizz Beatz produced. And Swizz Beatz is the actual producer, like Boom Boom Bap, like actually hitting the MPC and shit like that. And so is Dr. Dre. So I think that puts him on an even keel. But it's funny you brought up Irv and Ja, because my first shit was, you know, when I formulated the question, I was like, damn, I think that Diddy and Big, that shit would be like perfect. But again, facts that, I think Dr. Dre and anybody is good. And I think if you go to East Coast, then that's, you know, you can't go wrong with Swizz Beatz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Irv God.
That's a fact. But you're that's like your political connect, because you fuck with Chris God and shit like that. So, a quick question. This is going off topic.
It's murder.
But like, does Chris God, he still got his shit? The Adventures Music?
Hell yeah, they're about to drop an app this year. It's coming up soon.
Y'all still affiliated? You and Kenny B?
Yeah, that's my guy, bro. That's my homie.
Oh, word. All right, cool.
We still rock. I just been keeping low key because I'm trying to build myself, obviously, as you know. And we trying to set everything up with the right infrastructure so we could be able to continue to do business with him on a bigger scale.
Word, that's dope. Well, shit, you got a little ounce of inspiration you want to give to the people before we wrap up this episode?
You know, I just want to tell everybody that with innovation coming around us, with technology from the phones, from our artists, whether you feel good about it, whether you feel bad about it, whether you agree or disagree with certain topics or certain things that are discussed here and that are discussed in the trending topics of our lives, make sure that you always understand that you as a human being and as a powerful being have the power to either react or continue to act upon your own will. So always remember that those things will set you away from the destiny that you have set for yourself, and stay focused on grinding, getting to the bag, and making sure that you and your family's good. Because if you making sure that you and your family's good, everything else will work out. I promise you that. I know it's hard out here for a pimp. I know it's hard out here for a player. I know it's hard out here for a working mom and a working dad grinding that 9 to 9. And at the end of the day, when y'all listening to this, just understand that me and Chris be grinding just as hard. So let's get to this bag this week, and let's make sure that everybody's winning and having a good discussion.
Word. I like that. I would have ended it there, but it was too like inspirational. I just got to talk my shit real quick. So those of y'all listening who haven't heard our shit in such a long time, don't worry. We are back. It took a little bit, like Chris said, with innovation. We figured out, wait, how do we continue a podcast when I'm 1,200 miles away? We figured it out. Yeah, we gave y'all an opportunity to run. Like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all could have run. Y'all could have surpassed me at this point. But it's tough now. It's gonna be very tough for y'all niggas. Foot on y'all necks. No breathing. Like, it's going to be very, very tough. So, good luck.
He said we're putting out content the way McDonald's makes cheeseburgers.
Exactly. Good fucking luck. You know what I'm saying? With all that shit y'all niggas got going on. But good luck. And, you know, I do miss back home. So shout out to everybody in Connecticut. And shout out to everybody who fucks with the podcast. Shout out to everybody still doing the podcast. I know y'all niggas thought I was dead, but, you know, I've been revived. So it's going to be tough.
Let's get it.
I'm going to come for that CT Fashion Music Award 2019. Nigga ain't even gonna live in Connecticut. I'm gonna fight for that fucking award now. Watch.
Facts.
I'm really gonna put effort on this shit. I was putting no effort. I was on fucking cruise control for a whole fucking year. Now it's just kind of like, it's time to wake back up and start this shit. You know what I'm saying? So Yeah, this is gonna be episode 104. This is episode 104. And when I stopped recording, it was what, 103, I think. We did with Domino. Episode 10, I think we did two or three with Domino. And then it just kinda just crumbled. So much was going on, like, in life on my part, your part, I'm sure his part. He got, I think, like 9 different podcasts he's doing. So everybody got a lot of shit going on. So it was like kinda like, how do we revamp this shit and keep it going? Especially I'm about to be 1,200 miles away. So we figured it out. Got the cheat code, nigga. You know what I mean? So
let's get it.
Thank y'all for listening. We're gonna catch you next week.
Peace.